All right, it's time for us to get started. Appreciate you being here this morning. Anybody got anything you want to say? Any word? All right, y'all be turning to Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. We've been discussing the difference between Peter and Paul's message for quite a while. We'll continue with that line this morning and see how what the Lord has for us. But first, would you join me in prayer, please? Father, we thank you for the time we have here this morning. We ask you to be with us as we study your word and to lead us by your spirit and build us up in the faith. And Father, we especially continue to pray for those that are sick. We ask you to be with them and to heal these people according to thy will. Let them look for comfort through thee. And Father, this morning we ask you especially to give honor and glory to yourself in the class. In the name of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In Romans chapter 16, look at verse 17. We're just going to write straight to the context. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And that's happening all over the world today. People are being deceived by false doctrines. And in other words, when Paul preaches Romans to Philemon, to the church, the body of Christ, he said that he did not get this message from men. He got it by direct revelation from the Lord. And the Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 and gave him a message that nobody else knew anything about. Now, they knew that Christ would go to Calvary and die and the third day be raised again, but they did not know why he was dying at Calvary. When he went to Calvary and died, he died for our sins. Nobody knew that until that was preached by the Apostle Paul. And Paul says to mark people that are contrary to that doctrine. Now, go to Philippians chapter 3. Go to Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so you have us for an example. For many walk, and you got lots of different walks today in the religious system. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. And that's, I watched Joel Osteen this morning, and that's his whole get up is earthly blessings on this earth. That's all he's worried about. He is not telling them people how to be saved and spend eternity with the Lord. Now, he has a form of godliness, but he's denying the power thereof. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. That's two different times. You'll have the appearing for the church, the body of Christ. The Lord will come down in the air. Those that are saved will be changed. Those that are asleep in Christ will resurrect. We will meet them and meet the Lord in the air. His appearing and his coming, second coming. I listened to Dr. David Jeremiah this morning, and he said that we're looking for this time over here when the great, when our, that's the words he used, when our great high priest will come. We are not, we do not have a high priest today. There in the church, the body of Christ, there is no Jew. Mark him. I'm marking him for you. You understand? How do I mark him? By the Word of God. So if somebody comes and he preaches Acts chapter 2 that Peter preached to Israel, I'm going to mark him. You understand? I'm going to do what God said. Mark him. Why? I don't want you to be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. How? By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. Why? They are out there trying to deceive you. And if you'll study 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you'll find out that is by the deception of Satan himself. You understand? His ministers, where they're at, they're in the pulpits. I don't know of a preacher on television except the one that comes on channel 3 on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock that even uses the King James Bible anymore. Mark them. Mark them. Listen, first off, you've got to have some kind of authority. And if you don't have a 1611 King James Bible, you do not have the authority of God Almighty. You've got a book put out by Satan in his religious system to deceive people. So what are we going to do? I'm going to mark them. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. I'm going to mark them and try to show you how to know the difference when you hear somebody preaching. Because it's your eternal life and it's your rewards that's going to be involved in it. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. What word? The word that was committed. Go to chapter 2. Hold what you got there and go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me. Now he did not say the things that thou hast heard of us the apostles. He said, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, reason. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Well, beloved, that's where they're at now. Go to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, that be the Jews, whose mouths must be stopped. Well, you know, after a while, sometimes you feel like, well, I might as well just throw in the towel. It ain't helping none. But it does. It does help. You know, every word of God is pure. And every word of God is true. So if God said rebuke them, that's what we must do. And how does he say it? We're going to find out in just a minute. And you know this old saying, well, we love you and God loves you and we love everybody and all that bull. Come on, don't give me that junk. Y'all just like me. Y'all don't love everybody you come in contact with. Don't tell them you do. I know about it. I know how I am. Now watch what he says here in Titus chapter 1, verse 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a poet, a prophet of their own, saith, the Grecians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Now watch what he says. Wherefore rebuke them with all kinds of love and gifts, that we may be sound in the faith. What did he say? Rebuke them sharply. Well, how are you going to rebuke them? By the word of God. By teaching the word of God rightly divided. Now watch what he says in verse 13. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Hold your place in. Go to Matthew chapter 15. Old Titus, go to Matthew chapter 15. You know, if the Lord was here, he'd call them just about what you're fixing to read right here in Matthew chapter 15. Start with me in verse 7. Ye hypocrites. Anybody got a red letter? Boy, that's official, ain't it?
Yeah.
Ye hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now you go to a religious church and they're going to have their commandments of their church organization for you to follow. You understand? And if you don't follow those orders, you won't be accepted in that organization. To be accepted, you have got to follow the church doctrines. You understand? Now, what did Jesus Christ call these people? A bunch of hypocrites. Go to chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Verse 13. Matthew 23, verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. Woe unto you, blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind. Did Jesus Christ call these people a bunch of fools?
Yeah.
Well, I think he's rebuking them pretty sharply, ain't he?
Yeah.
Ye fools and blind, for well is greater the gold of the temple that sanctifieth the gold. And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. You fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctified the gift? Whosoever therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it, and all things thereon. And whosoever shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it, and him that dwelleth in therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that setteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weighty matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have done, and not to leave the other undone. You blind guides, which strain in a gnat and swallow kemp. Boy, that's pretty true, ain't it?
Yeah.
Bunch of sorry people. Now, hey, he's talking to the leaders of Israel. Scribes and Pharisees, the leaders. Man, verse 25, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outer side of them may be clean also. And he goes on and on and on. He's still calling them a bunch of snakes and vipers. Look at verse 33. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Well, I'll ask you, how can you escape the damnation of hell? There ain't but one way, and that's by the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached, the gospel of Christ, not the gospel of the kingdom. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Very misused passage right here we're fixing to read. Matthew chapter 4, begin with me in verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. How many times have I heard people say, you are now a fisher of men? No, I am not. He's talking to his disciples. You understand? I'm an ambassador. Always was, always will be. Until my vow body's changed, I will be an ambassador. And I hope that I am an approved ambassador of the Lord. As long as I'm rightly dividing Paul's epistles and separating Paul's epistles out from the rest of the Bible, as I know the rest of the Bible is written to, for, and about Israel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is for Israel. Jesus Christ came to Israel. They rejected him. He ascended up. He went back to where God the Father is, and he's coming again over here after the rapture of the church and after the 7-year tribulation over here. And he's training in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's training 12 men to carry on a ministry after he's crucified and gone back to heaven. He's training them to look forward to seeing the Antichrist over here, and they are to run and flee to the mountains. Paul never told me any such thing as that. Paul never told me that look forward to the day the Antichrist shall be revealed. You know why? We, the church, the body of Christ, are withholding the Antichrist from being revealed. He can't be revealed as long as we're here. Now, whenever we go out, he can be revealed, and the Lord will deal with Israel again as he was back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He will be their high priest over here. He is the head of the body, which we are his body. You understand? Each member is a part of his body. And Paul shows you that in Corinthians. He said, if the eye shall say, I'm not of the ear, am I not of the body? And vice versa. We are all members of his body. He is the head. I don't worship him as the king, as he was back here. He came as the king of Israel back here. They said, in John, they said, we have no king but Caesar. Crucify him. They did. God raised him up. Proved to you and me that when he raised up Christ from the dead, he forgave us all our sins. He forgave me all my sins. When he raised him up, he seated down at the right hand of God the Father, the body went with the head. You understand? Well, I'm going to get into that. I was thinking about a song old Jack Cardwell wrote years ago about the billy goat. Did y'all ever hear that song? It ain't got nothing to do with the class. But y'all ever hear that song, Jack Cardwell? He used to be on the radio station here in Mobile, him and Tom Jackson. And they'd advertise for Jernigan's collard greens and all that, and they'd drink collard coffee and all. Well, he wrote this song about a billy goat. Said the billy goat was doing fine till he jerked three red shirts off the line. Well, the lady cut his head off. He went to heaven, and St. Peter asked him, he said, Billy Goat, where's your head? He said, well, I don't really know, but the plaguey dag thing must be on the way. The head didn't go without the body. The body didn't go without the head. You got the picture. You understand? The body and the head went together. So he's the head, not the high priest. The high priest comes over here, as they had a high priest back here in the Old Testament. The tribe of Levi were the priesthood back here. The priesthood lost their position, if you let me use that term, when they rejected the Lord. In here, there is no priesthood. I don't need a high priest. Israel does. This over here has to do with a priesthood. Turn in your Bible to 1 Peter. Hold Matthew chapter 4. We get back there. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Well, as you will find back here in Exodus chapter 19, God said, you are a chosen nation, a royal priesthood. Matthew 21, Jesus Christ took the kingdom from Israel, gave it to the little flock. The little flock over here, Peter's writing to them in 1st and 2nd Peter, said, you are a royal priesthood and holy nation. Now, a priesthood has to have a high priest. He will come as their high priest at the second coming. Now, go verse 9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. Go to Hebrews and go to chapter 13. And take Hebrews chapter 3, I believe it is. Give me a minute. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Go to chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Does Israel have a high priest?
Yes.
They sure do. Well, will they have a high priest again over here?
Yes.
They sure will. At the second coming, the high priest comes down to them. So, in here, this is a church, the body of Christ, Jesus Christ, the head. Each member, a part of that body. Now, go back to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 20. And they, Peter, this is Peter and Andrew, his brother, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of Christ and healing all manner of... No. You see? The only way you can make that, say that Jesus Christ is preaching to these people that he died for their sins is to make it the gospel of Christ. And God didn't tell you that. God said the gospel of the kingdom. Very clear. What is Peter's responsibility? The gospel of the kingdom. What is Paul's responsibility? The gospel of Christ. You understand? There's a difference. Now watch what he says. Verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases among the people. And you know what? I have to stop and grip my teeth. These stinking crooks that people are making millionaires out of, talking about, well, I can heal you, we can heal this one, and they can't heal nothing. God is not operating in the gospel of the kingdom today. In the gospel of the kingdom, there's healing that goes along with it.
Right.
And I think about Duggar Lofton. Had a little old nephew, cross-eyed. Little old boy couldn't see straight down the road. His mama took him to a healing service up there in Mount Vernon in the tent. And they laid hands on the little boy and healed him. This is funny to me, but it's serious. People are blind. They can't see. This little boy come back and said, "Uncle Doug," said, "does it look like they healed me?" That little old kid had more sense than his mom and the preacher did. But that's awful. But you know what? Someday, that dude got to pay for that. He got to pay for all that lying in the name of the Lord. Did Jesus Christ heal all manner of sicknesses and diseases among these people where he went in these synagogues? But do y'all see people healing anybody today?
Right.
You see them saying they do. But do you see them? There's a man here in Mobile. I can't remember his name right now. He's in a wheelchair. Been in a wheelchair most all his life. He's been to a lot of healing services, and they won't even talk to him. There was a lady here in Mobile, Alabama. Her son got paralyzed playing football. I think it was for Blount High School. She carried that kid to Benny Hinn in Atlanta, and they wouldn't even talk to the kid. And there was a friend of mine that was up there. I knew him. He went up there, and he said there was some cops directing people in the hallways and all, and said that there was wheelchairs lined up in this hallway, and Benny Hinn couldn't get out, and they had to move these people out of the way in these wheelchairs, and this cop said, "It hit me. Why don't he lay hands on them and heal them and let them get up and walk out of here, get out of the way?" People don't believe this book means what it says. Jesus Christ healed these people. Look at verse 24. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Did he heal them?
Yeah.
How many of them did he heal?
Oh.
Verse 24, him, all sick people, and he healed them, all of them. Now, you don't know a person, and I don't give a hooly-dooly who he says he is, you don't know of a person in this world today that has that power from God Almighty. Do you know why?
They
don't
get it required.
To see what?
Get it required.
That's right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Jews require signs. You know what healing is? It's a sign. Go to Mark chapter 16. Go to Mark chapter 16. Now, people that operate in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they better get themselves in order. Because they are contrary to the Word of God, and God said, mark them. Oral Roberts, Richard Roberts, Benny Hinn, all of the bunch, you can throw them in a sack and shake them up and throw them out, and they'll all come out just as crooked as they was when they went in there. You know why? They love that dollar. They love that dollar. Now, in Mark 16, verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. What gospel are they preaching? The gospel of the kingdom. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Believes what? The gospel of the kingdom. He that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word. Signs following, amen. Now listen to me. If we still operated in the gospel of the kingdom, would God confirm his word with signs following?
Yes, yes.
If any of you were sick, could I lay hands on you and heal you according to the verse? Yes, I could. But, beloved, we are not operating in the gospel of the kingdom. We're operating in the gospel that was committed to the Apostle Paul. And Paul said, I did not get it from these men back here. He got it by direct revelation from the Lord. So his ministry has nothing to do with these people back here. You understand? Anybody got a question? Now, let's see some things here. Let's look at Luke chapter 12. Take Luke chapter 12 and take 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, I'll tell you what, don't take 2 Corinthians. Let's take Thessalonians. Let's do it there. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians. In Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. All right, Luke 12. Let's look at the instructions here. Verse 22, Luke 12, 22. And he said unto his disciples, now listen, we're not disciples, we're ambassadors. You cannot be a disciple. The only way you can be a disciple, according to the qualifications, is to forsake everything you got. Your land, your houses, your mamas, your daddies, everything. He said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. For the life is more than meat, the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If you then not be able to do that thing which is least, why take your thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe thee, O you of little faith? Seek ye not what you shall eat, nor what you shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. for all these things that the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, seek ye the kingdom of God is a clue. When is the kingdom coming? At the second coming over here. So they are seeking from this point here, they are seeking the kingdom to come over here. They don't know anything about this time of mystery in Romans to Philemon. You understand? They have no idea about a group of people called the church, which is his body. So they're looking to see the Antichrist, the tribulation, and they are looking for the second coming. Seek ye the kingdom. All these things will be added to you. In the kingdom. You understand? In the kingdom. Now, go to 2 Thessalonians, and let's look what Paul says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let's start in verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Amen. They sure do. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts unto the love of God and in the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after tradition which you received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Did Paul say he worked? The word wrought means to work. Well, I tell you what, Duke, hold your place in, go to Acts 18. Go with me to Acts 18. Look at verse 1. Acts 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and come unto them. And because he was of the same craft, y'all know what a craft is, don't you? It's an occupation like it. In other words, you got boat builders, crafts, and you got different crafts. He abode with them and wrought. In other words, he abode with Priscilla and Aquila and worked. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. Well, was Paul a tent maker?
Yes.
So he worked with them, didn't he? And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Now, I heard Hagee years ago, old Hagee, out in San Antonio, he had a shawl, I reckon, whatever you call it, around his neck. And he said that's what Paul was making. He said that's the tent he was making. Well, I don't believe that. I believe a tent is a tent is a tent. You know, like a tent.
Yeah.
I believe Paul made tents. I believe if he'd have made a shawl, God would have told me he made a shawl. God told me he made a tent. I know what a tent is. I've camped in a tent before. I know what a tent is. Now, Paul worked though, didn't he?
Yeah.
Was Peter told in Luke chapter 12 not to work?
Yeah.
Be like the birds and the bees and the flowers?
Right.
Go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 7. For yourself know how you ought to follow us. Verse 8, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. Well, what's the example in the context? Working. Working. That ain't hard to figure out. Verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat.
I'm hungry.
I don't think y'all missed too many meals in here. I know I ain't. And I ain't going to neither, if I can hope it. Verse 11, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now listen, you got to get a grip on this right here. Here's Thessalonians, one of Paul's early epistles that he wrote, and I suspect he's writing to some people that know all of this back here, and they have been told back here, and they saw in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, where people sold their lands and their houses and their goods and everything, and brought it and laid it down at Peter and them's feet, and distribution was made to all men as all men had need. Well, don't you know Paul's dealing with these people here, and he's trying to show them now, hey, if you don't work, you ain't going to eat. You're going to starve. Jim, where's your favorite verse? Your wife's favorite verse.
She called you.
go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. You know where it's at.
You ain't directing this lesson to me, are you, buddy?
No. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Well, how are you going to provide for your family if you don't work? You can't. Go with me and take Luke chapter 18. Well, go ahead. Might as well go ahead and take 2 Corinthians. We're going to have to do it. Chapter 12. We're going to have to get it in here. Luke chapter 18. In the context of in Luke 18, you'll also find in Matthew 19. In Luke 18, verse 18, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. You know, I could say right here, these people that teach you to keep the Ten Commandments and the laws and all that, if you kept every one of them from day one to the day you died and never trusted Christ as your Savior, you'd bust hell wide open. You know that? Ain't that something? And yet they say, if you'll stop this, if you do this and repent of your sins and get baptized and walk the aisle for Jesus, join the church and all this, God will let you into heaven. No, he won't. He cannot do that. If he did, he crucified his son in vain. Had there been a law given, Galatians chapter 3 says, had there been a law given which could have given eternal life, then righteousness should have been by the law. But we know it ain't. Righteousness without the law today. What is that righteousness? It's his righteousness. We put on his righteousness. It ain't my righteousness. It ain't your righteousness. Why? Because we are all sinners. And we've all come short of the glory of God. It's his righteousness that's put to our account. By what? By being good? Well, there ain't nothing wrong with being good, is it? Well, being good won't get you into hell. Well, you got to be bad? No, you're already bad. You're born bad. Like King David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. He didn't say she did some evil act. He said she's a sinner and I'm a sinner. He said I come forth lying from my mother's womb. So did you. So did you. I've been studying Peter versus Paul's gospel. Now I want to continue with that a little bit this morning. And maybe we can see some things here that will help us understand how to help those that don't understand Paul's epistles by their unlearnedness. And it's not because they're ignorant. It's because they're in a system that doesn't teach them the Bible right. It teaches them truth out of the Bible, but not in the right dispensation. And if you get in the wrong dispensation, you're going to get yourself in trouble.